I think it's the first time you've tried it, Gov.
So. It is the first time I've tried it, so I hope it's good. Otherwise, it's going to be a shit episode. Yeah, it's good.
Hi, guys, and welcome to another Beer with the Brewer. And today we do have an S on that one, and we have two brewers here. Matty, how are we?
Very well, mate.
And Govs from Black Ops, how are we, buddy?
Mate, fantastic. Thanks for coming down.
Mate, no problem. We're doing a little bit of a tour through Brisbane down to the Gold Coast and things like that for a couple of these episodes because it is our fourth birthday. And as you all know, Matty has brewed four fantastic beers with a couple of legends of the industry.
It's aged me 4 years.
Yeah,
four. Putting them together.
Only four?
Oh, wow.
And so we'll be doing a little bit of a road trip around and doing one of these for each of the beers over the next week. But today we've tripped down to Black Ops 2 to catch up with Govs and talk about this fantastic New Zealand Pilsner that you guys put together for the fourth birthday. Matty, Govs, how did this come along? Where's the concept from?
This one has a little bit of a background story.
Might as well crack it.
Yeah, we better crack it. Sitting here in front of us. It is a beer with Cheers. The brewers. Cheers.
Whoop.
I think it's the first time you've tried it, Govs.
So. It is the first time I've tried it, so I hope it's good. Otherwise, it's going to be a shit episode.
Cheers.
Yeah, it's good.
Gets a seal of approval.
Yeah, that's bloody good.
So the story goes, we travelled across the ditch in early 2020.
Yeah.
On the cusp of what we all know now is the little pandemic that's happened in the last couple of years.
Yep.
Probably the last time any of us
got to get away, I think, has been overseas.
Yeah.
For those that know us would have seen our beer, we put together after that the Super Choice IPA.
Yep.
That was a Kiwi hop-based.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess approaching this little project, got in touch with a few of our friends in the industry, a few of our close friends.
Yep.
So obviously the Black Ops boys, Smokey, and then Hendo. Not sure how Hendo got again.
Yeah, I think
he just kind of sneaks into everything.
It's like that head that pops up behind the table.
Yeah, that's it. He's always there or thereabouts. So based on the sort of theme of doing that trip a little while back, we went away with our friends from Hopco. There was the Rebel Crew, Black Hops. Was there anyone else there?
Smokey, the hairy boxes.
Yeah. So quite the trip and quite the crew. So the concept was to make, I guess, a beer sort of based on that. So we pulled together a few of our favourite Kiwi hops and put together this Pilsner. So,
what other hops you used in this, Matty?
The hops in this one, Waiti, Motueka.
Yeah.
At the time, Hort 4337, which is now known as Nectarine. And then dry hopped with an old classic Nelson Sorbin.
Mm.
I did reach out to Govs for some Rawaka, but apparently it's a bit tight.
Mm.
So aside from that, probably four of my top five favourite.
They're very,
Kiwi
very
hops.
Solid.
They're all
solid
hops. Not sure if I pronounced any of those correctly, but that's.
That's right. Yeah. Have a couple more of these and you'll probably roll off your tongue a little bit better.
My linguistics will enhance. Yeah.
No. Fantastic. Well, as it is our fourth birthday, this means our fourth year in town. Black Ops, you guys have been around for probably about 6 years now?
Yeah, it's something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't quite remember where it all began, but it was about 2014 when we came together and did our first little eggnog stout homebrew.
The eggnog.
And we opened HQ in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that gives us, I think we're coming into our sixth year.
Yep.
But now we've got a couple of sites. So, you know, we just like having lots of birthdays.
Yeah, great.
So we've got our original one, our HQ one, we've got BH2 and Brizzy.
Did you strategically, strategically open them in like one in every quarter of each year?
So you like all together.
So it's just a massive bend month of blowouts.
Yeah.
Well, that's how we like to do it in the brewing industry.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
Celebrate whatever you can.
Oh, 100%, 100%. So you guys have come a massive way in the last 6 years. We've kind of looked at you guys when you started off and talked to you guys to kick us into kind of gear and give us a little bit of direction. And we consistently talk with you guys over our whole entire 4 years of being open. And you guys are kind of one of the guys that we lean on for information and talking to you guys. Also with beers, and also I know Maddie that chats with you a lot with beers and business and things like that. So yeah, it's really good to kind of be able to make a beer.
Yeah, it's been
with you guys.
I think that's
well,
like the cool thing about the Southeast Queensland brewing community is we were very I guess separated from the rest of the industry, and we had to band together.
Yeah.
And we all kind of came into the market when there was a lot of unknowns. Everyone was like not too sure where things were headed, what trends were coming, and so we have had to rely on each other a lot. But that's half the fun, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And going along that journey as well, so it's a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Yeah.
A lot of when you guys started, there was really nothing. Well, not much at all in Southeast Queensland. It was probably Green Beacon and Newstead had just started, roughly maybe a year or so earlier.
We had Green Beacon, Newstead, Fortitude, which is where I was previously. Yeah. Burley Brewing, which everyone forgets about. They've been around for about 10 years, but they've kind of been under the radar a little bit.
Yeah.
And about 3 months before we opened, Bolter opened their doors. Mm. Yeah. So we were so excited. We were like opening a new craft brewery on the Gold Coast, which, you know, there was no real craft beer scene. There wasn't many venues or bottle shops. And we thought, all right, we're going to hit the market with a splash. And then I remember getting a phone call from my brother-in-law, and he said, oh, I heard Mick Fanning's opening a brewery on the Gold Coast. I was like, and then I found out they were opening in Currumbin. And we were actually looking at a factory in Currumbin at the time.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, we're going to have our thunder stolen right from underneath us. But as it kind of turns out, like more breweries kind of create more market and what those guys ended up doing was just completely changing the game for us, definitely, here on the Gold Coast. So, you know, within not too long after them opening, all of a sudden you could go into a surf club or a bowls club or an RSL and find Bolter on tap, and they really opened up the doors for those non-conventional venues where I guess as craft brewers we dare not tread because we thought we weren't welcome, but they kind of got us in there. And when those venues realized that people love this stuff, it meant that we could kind of walk in behind and is there a second tap going, and get in there that way.
And again, I guess all the surf clubs and all those types of, they're very community focused clubs as well. So they do like to support the local businesses and everything like that as well. And I guess like along the journey, people always say like comparing like a Bolter and then you guys when you started off, and it's like, oh, look, I'll take away market, this, that and everything else. But it's like, well, they're in those types of businesses are in a different kind of echelon than where we like where we play. But they, like you said, they open a lot of doors for us. And help and bring us along as well. So
one thing
it's
you
good.
Touched on before was releasing an eggnog stout as your first ever beer.
Yes.
Which is probably a little bit different from the Bolter model.
Yeah.
They released a very approachable.
I think it was different from everyone's model, and it was probably because we weren't trying to start a brewery.
Yeah.
We were trying to make an eggnog stout.
Yeah.
And we thought it'd be fun if we could make that commercially. And then we just kind of got carried away and we realized that it did kind of give us a unique point of difference. Like we weren't walking in with a lager or a pale ale or an IPA. We were walking in with an eggnog stout. And it was great because people didn't really have much of a reference point. So when we were saying, you know, it's $300 a keg,
awesome.
they couldn't really backfire. And,
the first one I grabbed off tap when I walked in here was the eggnog. So.
Yeah, for our first 2 years, we didn't have a pale ale or an IPA either. Wow. We had seasonal IPAs. And we had Beach House, which was a French Saison.
Yeah,
and that was like our core range beer.
I remember reading something.
Again, it's
a great
launch beer as a Saison. Yeah. No one understands.
And when we brought it out, like we brewed that beer because we love drinking that style and we thought other people would too. And then when we tried to go out and sell it to bars, As soon as we'd like mention Saison and had to explain the history, we'd just lose them. So we took the word Saison off and we called it Beach House. And whenever they asked, we said, oh, it tastes like stone and wood.
Good selling point.
And yeah, we kind of, we had Beach House on tap at the Burleigh Hotel back in 2015, which was like, I can still remember buying a jug of it.
That's awesome.
Watching the UFC.
That's pretty cool.
Going, this is pretty cool. Yeah, if this is as good as it gets, I'm happy.
Yeah, I know, right? It's that first transition of going out into market as well. It's like when we went out there, seeing your cans in bottle shops and people taking photos of the cans and sending it to you and say, oh, this is really cool, you're in these bottle shops. And it's like that crazy moment of like, this is pretty real, right?
Yeah. So I think, it's also, it gives you that true real world validation. Where a lot of guys, you know, starting out, they can spend too much time giving their homebrew to their mates and getting great feedback.
Yeah.
But it's amazing the feedback that you get when you actually charge strangers for it. It's a bit more real.
Yeah, I think I read something maybe a couple of months ago. I think Dan might have put up, and your first ever 20 beers. And a lot of them were very, I guess, unconventional beers if you're looking to start.
Yeah.
If you look at Balto, which did the XBA and did it brilliantly.
Yeah,
and then the beers like the eggnog, the saison, and then a few other ones that making beer, I guess, beers you like, and then trying to sell them rather than doing it the reverse way, thinking what's marketable and then trying to make a beer for that.
I'd ever give that advice to anyone. Like, I think we did it very naively. Yeah. I think we just did it because we didn't really think about what was ahead of us. Mm-hmm. So we just brewed beer that we liked, and then we kind of got to a point where we're like, oh, hang on, we probably need a pale ale and a lager because people keep asking for that.
Yeah.
So, but it was cool. Yeah. Like, you know, looking back, we had eggnog, Code Red, which is, red IPA, but this is one of my favorite styles.
Yeah.
We had a Belgian dark strong ale as one of our first five beers called Dark Monk, which we've actually just recently brewed and are going to be bottling it soon.
Yeah. Awesome.
Which is cool to bring it back.
Oh, it's monkey business.
No, it's down at AWOL.
Oh, AWOL.
Yeah.
It's very nice.
But yeah, we definitely brewed some unconventional styles.
They're the beers that we didn't sell
a lot of them.
Yeah. Financially, it was fun.
We sit in our, we have a meeting on every Monday morning and talk about what's happening and what beers we're going to make. And always try and throw in a wit beer or something as a brewer, it's fun to make. And Flex looks at me and goes, making that.
Oh, okay. I mean, you've got there's like validity to both sides, I think, but it's important that, you know, brewers represent in those meetings because if you just make what sells well, you miss out on so much of what beer is about, and ultimately something's going to have to be your lowest selling SKU.
Yes.
And if you just keep cutting it, you'll end up with one or two products and then, you know, what have we become?
I don't think you're too hard done by, Maddie.
No.
I think it was like 40-something different styles of beer last year or something.
Yeah, we did a few.
So. It's only when there's like the board's filled with the tanks and you're like, I just want to slip this one in. It's like,
I think it's when I get asked to make a light lager. Really get creative with why we can't make it.
We got pushed back about 3 months, I think. I think all these beers jumped in front of it.
Very full for the next 6 months.
It was the crux of these beers. You're like, no, I'm doing four beers for our birthday now. So.
Yeah, but anyway.
Fantastic. Well, getting back to the beer, bit of a deviation there. What have we got as a flavour profile in this bad boy?
Well, we explained the hops. Most of the Kiwi hops, they're based on, bred from Sars, which is traditional sort of Czech hop that's sort of where Pilsner begun, really. And the real profile of Sars is like spice, a little bit earthy, slight fruit. But then they cross in New Zealand, I think they bred them Sars and a bit of Cascade and then other hops that are more fruity in a profile. So a lot of like Motueka, Waiiti, Rewaka, a crossbreed between Sars is one of the half of the breed and then a more fruity hop. And then it's bred these sort of hops, which personally I love. They give that really nice spice in the background and then different sort of fruits, particularly citrus and tropical fruits.
They all have, like you said, because they're bred from the Sars, they all have that very kind of specific flavor profile that follows all the different styles of hops, which is really nice to pick up when you do a couple of single hops and you understand all those profiles as well. So, and it really shines out when you mix them all together as well. So it's really good.
Nectaron is the most recent. We did a single hop beer with that. 18 months ago, just before we went to New Zealand, actually. Yeah. And that profile, well, it's probably more an IPA hop because it's so fruity. It's definitely got that spice in the background.
Ooh.
And it's, to me, it's a common sort of feature in the Kiwi hops. Even Nelson Sauvin, that was probably the first Kiwi hop that exploded as a Kiwi hop that a lot of people are using in pails and IPAs.
Yeah.
That can come out a bit dank, and it's really unusual. It has like gooseberry and some white wine type flavors. I actually just had Gov's full Nelson. Nelson still being one of my favorite hops. So that had something unique as well. So they actually go beautifully in a beer like this when you sort of use them well, I guess.
Bit of Saturday Night Fever as well for the can design.
I think that was based on our trip to New Zealand where there was a bit of rain by Dragon played at various drinking establishments.
Yeah, it was, you know, we fell in love in New Zealand over Kiwi hops and we had a few nights out at the discotheque.
You guys on the dance floor would be very saucy.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it did get saucy at times.
Now the beer's beautifully balanced. It's really nice. Got a nice spicy little bitterness that lingers, but doesn't stick around. Just wants you, makes you want to come back for more.
Yeah, keep drinking, keep sipping along. So, all right. Well, thank you guys for joining us for this one. Govs, absolute pleasure.
Cheers, mate.
Thank you for jumping on board with this bad boy, Maddie. Well done. And guys, you'll be able to get some of this out in trade. I think it's pretty much all sold out from our point of view. So you'll have to run out to trade and get some out there. We'll be releasing the other three beers also. So most places will stock all four of these beers. So you can maybe pick a four pack of each up and throw your reviews up and things like that. So, but anyway, thanks Ian for joining us. Cheers from BH2 and we'll see you next time.
I'm out of here.